Joseph.
In brightest day,
in blackest night.
Crush your enemies, see them driven before you, to hear the lamentation of the women.
Welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show that champions the local comic book shop. We're broadcasting on 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio, and we're podcasting on comicbookdaily.com. I am Walter Duralia, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, Professor of Comic History at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And as always, we are your Adam West and Burt Ward.
Overacting through the world of comic books.
Who's overacting?
Great Scott, Batman. Holy comic book radio shows, Batman.
Holy strawberries, Batman. We're in a jam.
Well, that was terrible. But hey, Walt, how are you doing today?
I'm fine, Chris. I'm fine, Bert. How are you?
Oh, I'm great there, Adam. I'm fantastic.
Or no, or are you Adam or Bert? See, what would that be? How would you, if you wanted to be Batman or Robin?
Yeah, well, you
I'd want to be Batman, wouldn't you?
Well, of course I'd want to be Batman. However, I would concede because you're taller than I am.
Oh.
So I would say, you know what, I'm the Robin of our radio show.
Okay.
I'm going to go and cry for a little while right now.
All right, Boy Ward. Now's not the time to cry.
I don't want you to know why I'm the Boy Wonder.
Chris, of course, it is Wednesday. It's the day you and I come together to talk about all things comics.
Yes.
It's the day you and I come together to try to corral our listenership into their local comic book store.
Unbelievable. We actually do have a few people that listen to the show, and I'm excited about that.
Right. And today being Wednesday, we always start with comics that are coming out this week, the new this week. And we do, as always, have a sponsor.
We do have a sponsor. Yes, we do have a sponsor. New this week is brought to you by the Godzilla Demolition Company. Whether it is whole cities or just a single skyscraper, the Godzilla Demolition Company will ensure that destruction is performed in the most economical fashion possible. Call today for a free estimate.
Yes, and I think you forgot to mention that Godzilla will destroy your comic book shop if you order 500 copies.
Absolutely, as long as your name is on that shop, or on that comic.
On that comic. Yes. All right, Chris, we're going to start today with a really cool book. Dark Horse Presents, issue number one, it's back. It's a great deluxe format, 80-pager.
Yes,
it looks really nice. You got some luminaries of the
luminaries,
comic book world on this book.
Well, you know what? It's an interesting book because here is a comic that came out initially many, many years ago as Dark Horse Comics Presents. And then we had the first appearance of characters from Sin City, and we had things like Concrete and all these other kind of characters and that were appearing in Dark Horse Presents. And now it's back. Now, initially, one of the problems I have with this comic is the price point.
Mm-hmm.
It's $7.99. It's $8 for a comic book. Now, granted, it is a little bit thicker. It's a little bit bigger than your average comic book. However, it's still $8. I think it's a lot of money to spend on a comic book.
Fair enough.
However, again, you do get Frank Miller in it. You get Concrete. So Paul Chadwick's Concrete is back there. Howard Chaykin is in it. Star Wars is in it. Richard Corbin is in it. The Return of Michael T. Gilbert's Mr. Monster is in it. So you know what? It is.
Neil Adams does something in it too, doesn't he?
It's a Neil Adams wannabe.
Right. But you get a lot of you get good stuff. I think that.
Oh, sorry. It is Neil Adams' blood. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Frank Miller previews the what the heck is that called? Xerxes?
Xerxes. Yeah.
Xerxes.
Yeah. So it's Frank Miller's Xerxes.
Hey, herpes. That's Hermes. That commercial.
But you know what? Here's the thing. I'm just not too sure if people are actually going to care about Dark Horse Comics Presents. Dark Horse Presents. I don't know if people are interested in anthology comics like this anymore. This is something that it sold very well when it first came out because it did, mind you, it had really good creators attached to it back then.
Right.
But is it something that people are going to buy nowadays with all the mega blockbusters and crossovers and all that kind of
stuff. It seemed like a good idea. I think, well, look at what DC, remember they had Showcase and things like Marvel Comics Presents. Those type of books that come out every month that if you're a publisher, you're not chained to, okay, we have to start a new title. We don't know whether it's going to work or not. I think each of the big publishers should have that one series that you're throwing stuff up against the wall and seeing if it sticks, right?
Right,
and,
I agree.
And hopefully, fans realize that these titles are kind of the launching pads, the test areas for these new, cool new...
But don't you think that these kind of comics should have creators that aren't necessarily well-known creators? To be in these kind of anthologies. I mean, really, you know, Frank Miller, Howard Chaykin, Neil Adams, they can all sell their own books on their own. They don't need to be put into an anthology. Why not take the next, you know, Joe Blow, who is just an up-and-comer writer or an up-and-comer artist, and throw him into an anthology book, you know, and see how well he can do?
That's a great point, and I hope that Dark Horse is trying to get this thing off the ground with the big boys.
Right.
And then over time,
slowly push some
stuff in.
Okay,
anyways, Dark Horse presents at your local comic book shop today. Let's move on. Oh,
yes.
We have Avengers from Marvel, Avengers number 12. And Avengers, Chris, it concludes the Infinity Gauntlet story arc. Now, me not reading Avengers, thinking, man, that's like a 27-year story.
Right, bro.
Infinity Gauntlet happened in the 30s, didn't it?
Well, I don't know about the 30s, but it's certainly they had the original Infinity Gauntlet years ago, and then this is sort
I guess
of,
another
version,
obviously
yeah,
cosmic another, Marvel
yes,
story arc.
Yes.
Which the Avengers are very much a part of the Marvel cosmic universe, and they're very much a part of just the Marvel normal.
Absolutely, and of course this is written by fan favorite Brian Michael Bendis and penciled by John Romita Jr., who's also been around for a long time.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Romita Jr.
Yeah, you know, it's an acquired taste. Not everybody is. Yeah, I personally think he's great, but he's not for everybody, that's for sure.
All right. Well, in this issue as well, Iron Man has betrayed the team and will now have to pay the price.
Oh, I wonder.
That Iron Man.
I'll get him.
Right.
Okay, so then, of course, next up we have Hate Annual number 9 by Peter Bagg.
Is that how you call his name? Bagg?
Badgy? I always thought it was Bagg, but you know, I could be wrong.
Yeah. Now Peter Bagg, he reminds me – I don't know who the hell he reminds me of, but Sergio Aragonese on speed.
Well, he's got a very distinct style to his artwork. Here's a guy that's been around for a long, long time. And, you know, he's sort of like – he started out as an alternative artist. And I guess in a way he still is. But every once in a while he'll do work for a mainstream company. But he's got a loyal following for his Hate comic series.
Yeah. I guess the character's name is Buddy.
Yeah. The main sort of character. Character's Buddy, yep.
And it's 10 years into making this thing.
Yeah, but apparently it's the first full-length feature story about Buddy in 10 years.
Wow. Chris, can you imagine the pent-up demand
for the next Buddy?
In front of my store this morning that one guy.
Yeah.
He's probably been there since 6:30.
At least.
Yeah.
At least.
He's going, hey, Buddy, yo.
Now, is that because the store will only buy one copy?
No, you kidding me?
I gotta make sure I get it. There's only one.
Yeah, no. You kidding me? I think we're gonna go hard and get maybe two.
Oh, well, that's fantastic.
But
that's good.
You know what? Our store, and I hope a lot of other stores, always try to champion this small press stuff.
Well, of course,
which would
yeah.
you consider this small press?
Yeah,
right?
I would. Absolutely. Yeah.
What is this? Fantagraphics? I think so. It's hard for comic shops to carry the small press stuff because it doesn't always sell, but you have to kind of, you know, what comes first, the chicken or the egg type thing. You have to get your small press books out there. It's not good enough just to get one or two. You have to kind of have a half decent selection
for sure
to attract the crowds.
Yeah, because otherwise, if you have one or two, you're not going to appeal to the small press guy, and you're certainly not going to appeal to the mainstream guy.
Right.
So you have to have a good collection of everything in order to appeal to the right audience.
Well, and this is where the local comic book shop, you know, can one up everybody else. And if somebody at the shop is reading this stuff and enjoys this stuff, you can upsell this stuff. And you know what? Usually comic shops know their clientele as well. Yeah. And they can go, hey, buddy, like, you're really going to like this. You should check this out.
Yeah, especially if they're already buying something like that. I remember working at, you know, when I worked at comic book stores years ago, and I would see somebody buying, say, something by like Chester Brown or something. I might be able to say, hey, you know what? If you really like this, you might really enjoy this Joe Matt comic book or something like that. Whereas, you know, to get them with anthologies or into autobiographical comics, things like that.
Right. So, hey, guys, if you really like comics, you'll love Hate Annual number 9 at your local comic book shop.
Right on. Well, listen, let's have a little bit of a musical interlude here. And you know what, Walt? I've decided that this week we're going to go all Spider-Man. So all Spider-Man,
Spider-Man
music of some sort. Of some sort or another, we're going to have all Spider-Man music. And this, of course, is from the Spider-Man cartoon from the Krantz Studios back in the 1960s.
Chris, that is a swinging tune.
Well, you know, I thought that was sort of apropos. It's very swinging, and of course, Spider-Man was swinging as well. If you get my drift,
yes, I do, Chris. And not a moment too soon, we're going to announce that industry news is brought to you by the Microverse Board of Tourism. We may be small, but there are big vacation opportunities available. Why not shrink down and visit us sometime?
Sometime. All right. That was great. That was great. Yeah, that was fantastic.
Chris, industry news. We have a lot of industry news. It's a big, busy industry news week this week, so we'll try to cover as much as we can for our listenership.
All right, sounds good. So what's the first topic?
Let's talk about the Upper Deck making this. Upper Deck, of course, is the card company that makes the baseball, football, basketball cards.
Sure, yeah.
They're doing a Kree Skrull comic, Avengers type of thing.
Okay, so Kree Skrull Avengers from the Marvel Universe.
Right.
So
they're doing a comic book. It's where you put them in the 9 pocket pages.
Okay, cool.
And then you put them in a binder, and then you put them in sequence, and they become a comic book.
Okay, so each of the cards is like a panel or something, or maybe like six cards will make up one bigger panel or a whole splash page or something like that.
Right. Well, the way I'm reading it, they're 95% of the cards will be single panel. There will be a few cards that make like a splash or a bigger panel, I guess. There will be 9 cards to a $2.99 pack.
Okay.
And there'll also be a checklist card. There'll also be character cards, like 27 cards of character cards. Is this a good idea?
So hold on.
Back that up.
It seems to me like, you know, you're going to buy a pack of cards for $2.99, but you're not guaranteed to get any kind of actual story in it. You're just guaranteed to get, say, a few cards, and, you know, you might get like, you know, hey, wow, look at that. I got Quicksilver's foot.
Right.
Right, you know, and it might not actually be the whole thing.
Yeah, and you're right. And can you imagine, it's like you get a card and you don't understand it because you haven't got the one before it and the one after it.
Right.
But apparently if you buy – because consumers today, these cards, whether it's hockey, whether it's Magic the Gathering, a lot of these guys like to buy a complete box.
Right.
Right,
okay.
So what these guys, I think, are promising – is you get the complete story guaranteed if you buy a box.
Okay.
But you don't get the other kind of bonus cards complete.
Oh, like,
there
I
are
see.
Some
okay.
sketch cards.
Okay.
There so are some variant cover cards.
So some rare cards.
Some rarer cards.
Collectible things.
Yeah, so you're going to get the story if you buy a box.
You'll get the story for sure.
You'll get the story for sure.
Yeah.
And then you'll get the checklist, I believe.
Wow.
But you may not get everything else.
Right. So, you know what? This really kind of reeks of like 1990s, early 90s collectible cards, non-sport cards, where you know sketch cards and holographic foil cards and scratch and sniff cards and all that kind of you got to have them all kind of mentality.
You're absolutely right. And what was the? I think the last time they tried this was the Defiant Comics with Plasm.
Yeah, you know, Defiant was one of Jim Shooter's creations after the Valiant Comics,
right?
And he did this Warriors of Plasm card set, and we all know how well that whole Defiant Comics Warriors of Plasm did.
You know, judging from history, so Upper Deck is doomed.
Yeah, they're doomed. So you know what? Just wait a few months, and you'll be able to get them in the quarter bins.
Yeah.
The whole box of
cards in the quarter.
Yeah, yeah.
Or what I love is wait a few months, and you'll get some guys bringing them to you.
Yeah. Saying,
hey, you want to buy my cards back?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I heard you can make money off this stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, good luck to them. It's I don't know if the time has re-come, if you can say that correctly.
I think everybody's always looking for a way to rekindle the glory days of the 1990s, where you could basically sell anything and
right.
people were willing to buy. Like remember they would have like copies of the Death of Superman on the Home Shopping Network.
Yeah, oh yeah, I remember
and it was
that very
for
well.
Like $90 or something ridiculous like that.
I'm still paying my credit card off. Chris, move on. Hey, speaking of the 90s, speaking of the death of Superman, we're coming upon our Ultimate Spider-Man number 160 in its polybag glory.
Oh, boy. So this is more 1990s marketing ploys.
And we have Spidey apparently dying. From what I'm reading, a spoiler, I don't even know if it's a spoiler. Probably not. But I think they're killing Peter Parker.
Oh my goodness.
But they're putting some other guy under the mask.
Okay, so hold on. So much like Batman has done, where they had Azrael take over the mask of Batman, much like they had when Daredevil was in jail for a while, they had Iron Fist come in and Danny Rand, who was the Daredevil for a little while.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, it just seems like, let's kill off a character because hopefully it'll sell comics. And you know what? Didn't we just see this a couple months ago with the Fantastic Four?
And
with
Captain
Johnny
America.
Blaze,
and Captain you name America, it. Yada, yada,
you know,
yada.
And the Incredible Hulk was shipped off to another planet. And like, you know, okay, enough is enough already.
Enough.
Can't you just write a good story without trying to kill off a character?
Well, the thing I don't understand about, okay, the Ultimate Universe owes everything to the Amazing Spider-Man.
Right, absolutely.
The Amazing Spider-Man basically launched the Ultimate Universe. He was the most successful title in the Ultimate Universe. Everything springs from Spidey in the Ultimate Universe.
For sure.
And though DC in the 90s killed off Superman, Superman was a waning hero. That was the kind of ascension of Batman in the mid-late 80s, with those dark stories by Miller. And all that stuff and more. And then Superman kind of didn't belong anymore because he was this god.
Well,
that, you know, so how do you increase sales of your flagship character that's no longer your flagship character? You kill him.
Right. And he did have a mullet for a while.
Yeah, he did.
So, you know, and that didn't.
He deserved that.
That didn't increase the sales that they had hoped. Thought, you know what? Let's give him a mullet and hopefully that'll increase sales.
Right.
And it didn't work.
And it didn't. So.
And you know what? Death then became him. So,
So the progression, I guess, is mullet and then death.
Mullet and then death.
Right.
If mullet doesn't work, death is the next step. Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, I don't know what's going on here. I don't know what they're doing, but.
I'm surprised they didn't do that with Johnny Storm. You know, they didn't give him a mullet, and then they just killed him off right away.
Right away.
They probably figured, this mullet's not even a mullet can save
Johnny Storm never got a mullet. Oh, man. All right. Chris, Dynamite
Entertainment. Dynamite, yes.
Yeah. They're doing a couple of miniseries this summer. One is Garth Ennis is doing something called The Boys, Butcher Baker Candlestick Maker.
Right. Well, of course, he has that that ongoing series now with called The Boys, and I think this is just going to be like a mini series called Butcher Baker Candlestick Maker. And of course, he has worked with Derek Robinson before on The Boys, and so he's done a lot of work with this team has done a lot of work before and has been very successful.
Right, and Ennis calls it a good, long, disturbing look into the dark.
Well, Ennis is excellent at doing really dark comics. I mean, you know, we often talk about The Preacher, but I mean, he's also done a lot of work on characters like the Hulk. He's done a lot of war comics. He's just an all-around really great. And, oh, of course, he also did a lot of work on The Punisher. He kind of revitalized The Punisher.
Yeah.
And he's really great at bringing a little dark satire to things.
Right. Also, from Dynamite, they're announcing that we got Terminator RoboCop Kill Human.
Yes.
By Rob Williams. Rob Williams.
No, not by Robin Williams.
Right.
Yeah, Mork isn't writing this. It's okay. Terminator RoboCop Kill Human. This is going to be a new story. And this is going to explore whether which of the RoboCop sides, the human or the machine, will triumph.
Yeah. So RoboCop is fighting Terminator.
Right.
This is cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
This is neat because, you know, because Terminator is supposed to be solely, you know, machine kind of thing, even though he looks like a bit of a human. And then you've got RoboCop, which is like a human with like machine parts to him, right? So this is kind of neat. And I think they've had these kind of comics before, but it's always great to go back to this well because they're great classic characters now.
Back to the well.
Back to the well.
Right. Chris, speaking of Back to the Well.
Yes.
I'm not sure if that works as a segue.
It really doesn't.
It doesn't?
Because I know your next point, but yeah, it doesn't. But, you know, we'll go with it anyways.
Okay.
Back to the well.
Speaking of Back to the Well, the Foo Fighters.
Foo Fighters, yeah.
Yeah. Their music is going to appear in Thor. And apparently this is big news on the internet because the Foo Fighters are apparently a good band.
Yes,
and
they are.
And they have
apparently.
This.
Do you not know who the Foo Fighters are?
They're a band.
Well, okay, yeah. Have you ever heard their music before?
Or? I probably have on the radio, but I don't recognize
Okay,
them.
Okay, fair enough.
So what, like, they're.
They sing all those songs, you know, like by Jimi Hendrix. And no, I'm joking. They really don't. But anyways, I just figured you know who Jimi Hendrix was. So
I remember him, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But
anyways.
The latest album by the Foo Fighters is called Wasting Light, and there's a song called Walk. And apparently, it's going to run on credits, and it will be in a scene where Thor is having a drink at a pub somewhere.
Oh, very cool. Yeah. Very
so,
cool. So look for it during the movie.
Yeah, but here we go. Okay? Here we go. I haven't heard the Foo Fighters, and I haven't heard this song.
Okay.
But I'm assuming that it's pop culture.
Well, it's like
pop music.
It's like rock
pop
and roll.
Rock.
Yeah,
pop
it's like rock,
right?
Yeah.
You know, it's Thor. I need Wagner. Kill the wabbit. Like, I need Wagner. I need some sort of, you know,
you need something
classical,
more
mythological music. I'm afraid that they're going to try to make Thor a little something for everybody.
Well, yeah.
You know what? And not to, we won't dwell on this point, but there was a great article about 3 weeks ago on the Thor movie having cast one of the Asgardians as a black guy.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
And there's, you know, banter on the net. Well, you know, Asgardian Norse guards aren't black, right?
Right.
So, and the music as well. So it's like, are we just trying to make pop culture and everybody happy, give a little bit of something for everyone in this movie? Or are we going to try to stick to kind of hardcore Norse mythology storytelling?
Well,
and apparently we're not.
Well, apparently we're not.
Right.
You know, personally, I don't really care if Heimdall, that's the character,
right,
is portrayed by a black man or not. I think if he's good enough for the character, that's fine. Now, I guess because, you know, maybe them being gods, right? They're gods, and maybe they can make themselves whatever they want, right?
Fair
enough. You know,
maybe they can.
I realize
they can listen to the Foo
maybe
Fighters.
Maybe they want to listen to the Foo Fighters.
Yeah, maybe they like the Foo Fighters.
That's right. Yeah, I agree.
All right.
And speaking of gods, we do have another comic book coming up with My Royal Wedding.
Yes. How are they gods?
Some people would refer to them as you know, godlike beings. You know,
yes.
They look up to them and that kind of thing.
Kate and William, a very public love story. Bleeding Cool's Rich Johnson, I think, co-wrote that.
Yes, I think he did, yeah.
And so here you have this royal wedding coming up soon.
Yes, I think not this weekend, but maybe next weekend.
Right. And I don't think they want to go up against Easter.
Probably
you know,
not.
Royalty's important. But they're not deities. Deities. Right.
Well, that's what I was referring to them. I mean, people do refer to them or regard them as these
as
sort
deities,
of
right.
deities.
My right. lord.
Yes, my lord.
I
my
say.
Lady. I say. Oh, that's right. You know what? We do have our friend out in England who I wonder if he'll be going to the wedding.
No, Chris, I think we need coverage
we do.
Of the royal wedding for Comic Book Daily.
Yes.
So we will put that out to him saying we need coverage. We need reports.
Reports.
We need photographs. We need him wearing some sort of T-shirt that has a superhero on it.
At the royal wedding.
At the royal wedding.
Even better if it was like, Kate or something like that, like a Supergirl outfit or something.
Oh, that would be amazing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That would be amazing. Now, this Kate and William, I mean, within, it's selling really well because it's going to second print.
Right.
So people are buying this.
Not bad for a guy that runs a comic book website. Really.
Right.
I mean, Bleeding
it's
Cool.
Great.
It's a great site, but not bad. I mean, as far as I know, it's his first. I don't know if he's done anything before
right.
that. First try out here, and it's going to a second printing. That's great.
Yeah. And look, and what's even better, Chris, what's even better? A few months from now, you're going to find Kate and William in your $2 bins, dollar bins, right next to Pope John Paul.
Yes, you will. Absolutely.
I remember, what was that? St. Francis of Assisi.
Yeah,
remember?
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, Roy. And I don't know if they had.
Next to Alf with the seal.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if they had. Did they have a Diana and Charles comic book?
I don't recall. I don't
yeah.
think they don't.
I don't think they did.
I don't think comics were more underground back then. They weren't
right.
quite as mainstream as they are now. So I don't think they did. Unless there's some sort of fanzine out there, which is very pop. Very, it wouldn't surprise me.
All right, Chris. So royal wedding updates from England soon.
Soon, I say.
I say. I say, Chris, Tokyo Pop is closing its North American operations. This is the company, sorry, that brought anime to the masses, to the North American masses.
Yeah, manga, yeah.
Sorry, manga yeah. and anime manga, right. Manga especially. They were the forerunners. They basically pioneered for the North American market the backwards to frontwards
right,
style.
Right.
So they made it authentic Japanese. It took off right away.
Yeah, you know what? Tokyo Pop, I mean, there were companies before Tokyo Pop. I mean, Dark Horse published Lone Wolf and Cub, and Viz did a bunch of like Ranma Half, things like that. But you know what? Tokyo Pop, they decided to publish the digest-sized comics and do the opposite way, the way it is traditionally read in Japan. And for whatever reason, this really took off. There's a lot of manga fans out there who really love all the stuff that's been being published by Tokyo Pop. And apparently, the reason why it's gone under isn't because of the lack of manga fans out there, but it's because of business takeovers, basically.
Right. So I think their supplier in Japan, Kodansha, they are muscling Random House, I guess, via the Del Rey imprint.
Yep.
They're partnering with these guys, so they're muscling in on a lot of the big properties that Tokyo Pop used to get. So
right.
Del Rey's getting a lot of the good properties
yeah,
now.
And
which is hurting Tokyo Pop. And then you have small other things like Nails in the Coffin, like Borders is closing,
right.
which sold a lot of manga for
yep.
them. But I can't understress, I guess, or say that Tokyo Pop really the cosplay. Like I wanted to talk to you about cosplay. You
yeah.
go to cons now and all the costume work and stuff like that. It was really about 7 or 8, 9 years ago. You started seeing a lot of. It was the manga, the anime
yeah.
manga characters.
You know what? It was one of those things where when you went to a comic book convention, you would see people dressed up as your favorite comic book hero. I mean, we've been going to conventions for 30 years or whatever it is, and we would see people dressed up, and the superheroes would be dressed up, but there really wouldn't be too many people dressed up like that, and the people that were. They would always be kind of shy, you know,
right.
like I'm doing this, like don't look at me, you know, kind of thing. And then the anime manga cosplayers came on the scene, And they were extremely proud about what they were doing.
And they formed groups. Yes, they came as groups.
Yes, right, yeah. And so all of a sudden you'd see groups of people dressed up from Naruto or
Sailor Moon
or whatever. And all of a sudden that sort of paved the way for other cosplayers to get to have the courage to dress up as comic book people more often, and more anime and more manga people and that kind of thing. So really, they did a fantastic.
Yeah, you're right. Job. I mean, the guys are saying, look, that guy can dress up as Sailor Moon. I'm dressing up as Scarlet Witch. I don't care.
Well, you know what? I remember there was one time there's this guy that used to dress up as Supergirl all the time at one of these conventions, and it was a little disturbing, but hey, you know what? Teach their own.
Good for him.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
Good for him. All right, Chris, let's move on. Let's move it on. Talk about toys.
Toys.
So Hasbro has reported large growth in the first quarter.
First quarter.
Brought to you by Sylvester. 25% increase in sales in the boys' toy
in the first quarter, which this actually astonishes me, because really there's no reason why there should be a growth in the first quarter in 2011.
Absolutely right.
There isn't any, hasn't been any major movies yet.
Yes.
There's no. Like, you know, there's no major holiday other than Valentine's
Day. You're right. A property like Beyblade is still doing well because of the TV, the cartoon. I guess it's after school when the kids
right.
get home. But what Hasbro's saying is that they're having good activity in sales, Thor pre-movie and Transformers pre-movie.
Right.
And they're expecting Captain America pre-movie as well to really boost your second quarter numbers.
Fantastic. So now we've got Transformers, which started out as a toy, became a cartoon, and then became a comic book, and now is being...
Then became a movie.
Then became a movie.
And now it's going back to toys.
It's always been a comic book sort of off and on.
Yes.
And now it's going back to toys, and it's like it's an unstoppable force.
Right. Now the movie is pushing the toy.
Yes.
At the beginning, it was the toy kind of pushing everything, and then the comic really kind of pushed the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And then now the movie is going full circle.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
So
and then we're going to have Thor, which of course you know Thor started out as a comic, and then now it's going to be a toys, and I'm sure the toys will help the sales of the comics, and it's just going to continue.
You know what? At our shop, we've sold dozens and dozens of those. Cool looking Thor hammers.
Oh, those things are neat. Yeah.
You know what? Because when you see that, you really want to buy it and just hit your brother over the head
absolutely,
with it, right?
Absolutely,
it's just perfect for going drinking with your buddies and just.
You know what? They should have made one where it's like, because Thor's the god of thunder, right?
Yes, he is.
So they should have made one where once you hit the person, it had like a sound where like thunder striking or something like
that.
Yeah.
Those are more.
Yeah.
Right.
Those are $12.99.
Well, yeah, rather than
$8.99. Yeah, exactly.
Right. So, but the puzzling thing is, reading this report, they're not high on the X-Men First Class, and they're not really developing the toys for that. The reason that is, I'm not sure.
Well, you know, I've seen some of the trailers for X-Men First Class, and really, they're not in costumes, right? So it's kind of hard to have a toy of young Charles Xavier or young Magneto, who just happens to be sitting around in a suit, right? Like, I mean, there's nothing fantastically...
Yeah, he looked like that Boss Man. Remember those toy lines? About,
that's right.
I think Boss Man, there's probably a warehouse of unsold Boss Man sitting around.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they could
Wasn't
just,
there one like the accountant or something like that? Or?
Yeah, they had like the accountant, Boss Man. They had a whole bunch of ones that absolutely did not sell.
Yeah.
But it was a local guy. It was a Toronto guy.
Yep.
And all the power to him. He had a good go of it. He came into all the shops and he tried to plug his toys.
And
we picked up some. And it got some press. And it was one of those far and few between. But you get some sort of accountant.
A little
phoning.
Bit of buzz, yeah.
Yeah, and you go, yeah, you got that Boss Man.
Wasn't there a Geek Man? Wasn't that
there was a Geek Man, right?
Yeah. Came with like a pocket protector and a calculator or something like that.
I love it. Speaking of Geek Man, Chris.
This is a good segue.
Geek Chic Daily. Comicbookshop.com, which is like a newsletter website for geeks, for fans. It covers events, kind of like Comic Book Daily, I guess, but better.
Just different.
The Seamus guy.
Garib Seamus.
Garib Seamus from Wizard. Yeah. He has a hand in this as well. I guess the news is Variety, anyways, reporting that they're having like a local L.A. version of GeekChic Daily.com, and they plan a Chicago one and a New York one and I think a Seattle.
Well, this is neat. This is very interesting because I'm sure that the art and geek community in Los Angeles and in Chicago and in New York is probably – each one of them is probably very different, right? So why not have local versions of the website so that to help populate, to help, you know just gather interest and have all kinds of news based on
coverage of local
Geek local events. Rather than getting all the kinds of events that are always, you know, talked about nationwide. I mean, artists and art communities like are usually fairly local anyways, right?
Okay, but here's the question why I wanted to bring this up. Is the future of coverage of geek type stuff like what Bleeding Cool does, what comicbookdaily.com does, is it local in nature? Is it better served to really give information for, you know, cosplayers and fanboys and geeks of certain regional areas,
right?
Or is a national one international one?
I think there's a need for both. I think there's a need for a national or international coverage because, I mean, as you know, fans of comic books, we always want to find out what's happening with Marvel and DC and Dark Horse and Image and all those kind of things. But at the same time, you know, if there happens to be an art gallery showing in Toronto or in Buffalo or something that's close to, say, our communities, then I would want to know about it and be able to go to that thing. Whereas, you know, somebody who happens to be in LA isn't necessarily going to care about an art showing that's going on in Buffalo necessarily.
Right.
Maybe they would. I don't know.
Right.
But, you know, they might not really care that much. So why not have an element of local news going on in all these different websites. Now, having said that, maybe instead of having a specific website just for a local area, why not have a website that has the local news as well as the national news?
I mean,
why not make it more like, you know, your daily news coverage on TV, where they do the national news first and then they have the local news afterwards, sort of thing?
Well, it looks like they're moving in that direction. But what I'm encouraged by is the fact that there are people with some sort of money and some sort of business plan pursuing websites locally for geeks.
Well, you know, as we've always said, this market is up and coming even all the time. And it's not going away anytime soon. The geekdom, if you want to call it that,
geekdom,
and comic books and video games is just getting stronger and stronger as people begin to have more pride in their fan base around this stuff.
You're absolutely right.
All right, Chris. Well, having said that, we're going to have a little bit of a musical segue here, and as we continue on our journey into the Spider-Man, here's a little bit of the Spider-Man Ramones.
Yeah.
Ramones doing Spider-Man.
Absolutely. Isn't that
And
fantastic?
They're doing justice to it. It's a great song.
They do a good job. And, well, that's a great segue into our next topic. And this, is, of course, brought to you by Free Comic Book Day. On May 7th, head into your local comic book shop and grab some free comic books.
Absolutely free.
Okay, what do we got next? And, of course, this is sort of a next topic, isn't it? Spider-Man?
Yeah, it's a great segue into Spider-Man. You are the segwayer.
Is that my, like, my alter ego?
No, Robin is your alter ego.
I'd rather be the segwayer.
Robin the segwayer.
Oh, dear.
Chris, Spider-Man is still kicking some butt on Broadway.
On Broadway. So we're talking about Spider-Man Into the Dark. Turn off the dark. Sorry, yes. Not Into the Dark. Sorry.
Well, hopefully it's not going into the right. dark. It's heading into the light and into the green. No, is it? How do you say profits? Into the black.
Yes, into the black.
That's profits, right?
That would be profits.
Yeah, in the
that's
red.
Right.
Yes. Okay. Yes. So last week's gates on Broadway, Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark was third, and it's still in preview.
Yeah.
It had $1,380,000 at the box office, which is amazing.
That's fantastic.
I think it's being retooled now, like we always try to update it, and so I believe soon they're going to premiere it.
Well, you know, the only thing that is beating it right now is Wicked, which has been a long-standing musical already based on The Wizard of Oz, and mm-hmm. The Lion King, which is at 1.6 million.
Yeah, and that's an absolute classic.
Yeah.
So now, well, we bring up Spider-Man for many reasons. Turn Off the Dark. We like to report on it. We also like to try to plug ourselves to try
Absolutely.
To get tickets
yes.
for it.
And if you are a producer listening to our show, I highly recommend you to send us tickets because really no one has plugged your show more than we have.
Right. And we promise to love it no matter what.
Absolutely. We will make you a deal right now. If you send us tickets to this show and we will go to the show, we will continue to plug it every week for at least the next 10 weeks.
And we don't care. Like one of those sandbags that takes the curtains up, they could fall on our head. We don't care.
But, if you want to give us front row or whatever, it's fine.
Right. And we also have threats because we want to tell you that about the Batman.
Yes.
Thing. And if you don't send us tickets, we'll report about this Batman thing every week.
Absolutely. Until we get tickets for one of them.
Right. Yeah. And speaking of Batman, Chris, this is the big Batman it's like a traveling circus.
Yeah, it looks awesome. It looks absolutely – I am so jazzed about this way more than Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark. This looks like some sort of weird Batman circus type, you know, musical thing where it's like this weird Broadway show where people are coming out from
but
the woodwork.
But it's bigger than Broadway show because it's like in a big top and it's like a Barnum and Bailey's thing. it's amazing. It's got trapeze things going.
Oh, yeah.
And it's got all kinds of things happening. And this summer, it's actually going on. It's starting in England.
It's like circus.
I say. So our intrepid English reporter.
He better start reporting something for
right,
us.
Right after he covers the royal wedding.
Yes.
He will be sent all expenses not paid.
If only we remembered his name.
You know, you should be digging up an email while I'm blabbering here. All right. I see the British gents.
I say. You know who you are.
Yes. He'll be reporting on the show and giving us perhaps.
A
what do you call that thing where you talk on the phone and you look at each other?
A Skype.
A Skype report one day this summer.
Yes, that'd be great.
So it's going on, it's starting in England.
Yep.
And it's going on a 5-year tour.
This is fantastic. You know, this is like, it's like Cirque de Batman or something.
Exactly.
Like that.
Yeah, that's a great way of putting it. A Cirque de Batman, a 5-year worldwide tour. And it's going to end up in Vegas.
I hope
and
so.
And Celine Dion if and only. Elton John will be in the cast.
If only. Celine Dion apparently is going to be playing Poison Ivy.
Oh, yes. That is good. Wow.
Yeah, no, I know this is one show. This is one show, although I'm sure Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark looks great. I would much rather see the Batman one because it has like every character in from the Gotham City Batman canon is involved. Like there's Harley Quinn and Edward Nigma and the Catwoman and Robin and Batman, of course. It just looks fantastic.
Right, absolutely right. Chris, we got to keep moving because we're running out of time. This next report is for Rob Haynes. And Rob, he is a great writer for the Schusters.
Right, yes.
On the committee. And he noted on one of his blogs that our show seems to mention Conan and Grant Morrison every show.
Well, we do talk about those guys a lot, yeah.
So
true.
This Sergio Argonez is going to do a Gru meets Conan comic book.
Very cool.
Right. And so I guess it's going to be Dark Horse. It's been in the works for a long time.
Right.
And I don't know. Gru versus Conan. Now, the guy drawing Conan right now, I don't have his name on top of my fingertips, but
Thomas Yates?
Yeah, no. Thomas Yates. Yeah, sorry. Okay. Each guy is going to draw each character.
Right. Okay.
And Argonis is going to kind of do kind of mesh the background.
Right.
So
it kind of fits in, yeah.
But. That's great because what Gru is kind of a parody of Conan.
Exactly, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And now Conan is taking himself not lightly.
No,
and this event is going to be cool.
Well,
of course, it's going to be great for both fans.
The Conan movie coming out this summer as well. So I mean, this is going to tie in with Conan and with the comedic Conan and all that kind of stuff.
Right. I mean, Gru versus Conan. I mean, who do you put your money on there?
Well, right? You know.
Because both of them are vicious.
I'm going to say Roberto, Conan's, Gru's dog.
Gru's dog?
Gru's dog, Roberto. I'm going to say he's going to be the winner.
Oh, I thought you said refer to Gru's dog.
What
the hell? This thing on, hello?
Hello?
Hello? All right, Chris, how do we get out of this one, Chris?
Well, I don't know. I don't know what to say. You know what? I actually, you know, this is a good segue. I actually picked up a Barbarian Comics parody when I was in Pittsburgh on the weekend.
Yeah, you were in Pittsburgh on
the
weekend.
I was in Pittsburgh, and one of the comics I happened to pick up, I had never seen it before, was called, I think it was called Barbarian Killer Funnies.
Right.
And it came out in like the early 1970s. I think it was 1971 or something like that. And I had never seen it before, and it looked like a really cool comic.
You had a great little story. The comic book legend,
yes.
Chuck Rosansky, was standing beside you.
Yeah.
Of course, the founder of the Mile High Collection.
Yeah, you know, it was great because I was searching through these comic bins and I happened to come across this comic and I was like, Barbarian Killer Funnies. And then from this voice from next to me says, oh, I remember selling that in 1971. And I look over, and sure enough, it's Chuck Rosansky. And so that was great because we had a little conversation about that comic and about selling comics. And, you know, he's a legend in the comic book retail community.
Absolutely right.
Right? So
his
that was
shop's,
great.
Of course, Mile High Comics.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Chris. Well, we have to talk about this. This is we talked about Rich Johnson and Bleeding Cool earlier. They had a great, great story on some place in Florida called the Workforce Central Florida, and they're having they're trying to make a program on helping people get find jobs.
Right.
And so this new gimmick they came up with is called the Cape Ability Challenge.
Right. Okay.
And what do they have to do? They basically give each guy a cape or something?
So to get your cape, you must you have to take a quiz, basically, on what superhero are you. So basically, what kind of job would you want? So it's all about finding a new career for those who are jobless right now. So they say, well, so what superhero are you? So you take the quiz, and then you end up getting your cape after that sort of thing.
That is amazing.
Yeah, and you also get your photo with you bashing the head over the evil Dr. Unemployment.
Oh, the dreaded.
Dr. Unemployment.
Well, you know what? I thought the whole thing was bad. Right?
Well, but, it's cute.
Yeah.
It doesn't look – but it, certainly taxpayers shouldn't be shelling out $14,000 for
you're right because it is part of the taxpayers. I guess the taxpayers are on the foot for these capes.
Yeah.
But this company, this PR company, they had another gimmick before that, which I think tops this one. They had something called Careerioki.
That's horrible.
Where you have to sing about you wanting a job.
This is like some bad futuristic game show where people are trying to find jobs for themselves by doing horrible things.
Careerioki. I mean, what else could they do? I mean, listen, we could help them out for their next one. Like, I don't know, pin the tail on the unemployed guy.
I was thinking more along the lines of maybe something like, you know, I don't know, Sir Jobs a Lot, and you all have to become medieval knights or something like that. You have to, like, you know, have joust.
No. Yeah, joust. That'd be great. No. Jobberty.
Hey, you have to go on a game show. Like,
you have to go up against Sean Connery. And if you beat him at Jeopardy, you get a job.
I love it.
That's huge, Rebecca. All right. All right, Chris, man. All right, what do we got still? All right. Chris, we have to talk about I wanted to just quickly ask you. I know we already talked about it a bit.
Yeah.
We were running out of time. How was Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh was great. You know what? I absolutely loved the show. It is strictly a comic book show. It is not a haven for washed-up porn stars. It is not a media event for for new movies coming out. If you want to talk to comic book creators, if you want to meet comic book writers and artists, and you want to buy comic books, and you want to basically celebrate everything that's comic books, I mean, there's a costume contest and all that kind of stuff, go to the Pittsburgh Convention. It is only really a one-day show, although it's on for 3 days. You can kind of finish the whole show in one day. However, having said that, if you plan on getting sketches from artists, or if you plan on scouring the dollar bins, it's going to be more than one day, right? I mean, because you're going to get asked for a sketch, because this place is so busy that the artists get booked up really quickly. For example, we went to go talk to Mike Grell, who was famous for Green Arrow and Warlord, and we got there like an hour into the show on the Friday, and he was already booked up until Sunday, right?
Wow.
So when it comes to just strictly comic book stuff, it's a great show. But you know what? You got to get there early and get your stuff done early. However, you know what? It's not like a big media event or anything like that. It was just a lot of fun. And I picked up some really great books, too.
All right. So it's a great bargain place. All right, Chris, before we head into the final topic, are we going to have one more small set of music? Before we even do that, Chris, I have to mention that next weekend, the Comic Book Daily crew are heading down to that Boston Comic Con.
Oh, that's right. I heard about that. Yeah, that's that's not a Wizard World.
No, it's not. No. What excites me about that is it's a local comic book show. It's not part of the big conglomerates of Wizard World or of the Reed.
Right. Big it's sort of its C2. Own thing, right?
It's its own thing. I'm hoping for a lot of local dealers,
right.
Artists in that area as well. So we're hoping that that's a good show.
You know what? I'm sure. Unfortunately, I can't make it to that show with you guys, so that's why I had to go to Pittsburgh this last weekend. But I'm sure you're going to have a great time. I know we got to get going here. So continuing on with the Spider-Man theme, let's go a little bit of Aerosmith.
Good, Chris. Did I catch a little Run DMZ in the back of that?
There may have been a little bit of that. Yeah.
Wow, that's good. That's Aerosmith doing Spider-Man.
Yeah, I love it.
All right, Chris, that leaves us to the last portion of the show, which is brought to you by I Was a Hero, the new webcomic now on Comic Book Daily. I Was a Hero is written and illustrated by Ryan O'Reilly with colors by Ryan Parent. I Was a Hero is a tale of suspense, intrigue, and a superheroic twist.
Nice. Very good. All right.
Chris, a free comic book day.
Yes, we promised next weekend. Two weekends, right.
And we promised to talk about it until the event comes at the end of every show. We mentioned that we're going to just mention a few shops that are going to do free comic book day. Free comic book day at Comic Book Addiction.
In Whitby,
1022 Brock Street in Whitby. They got Jay Torres signing.
Oh, very cool, yeah.
Yeah, they got a barbecue going. They got costume characters coming, face painting. They got a whole ton of dollar comics happening, local artists sketching.
Nice.
So they're going all out.
They're really celebrating.
They are, and just like a lot of comic shops across the world, really, North America and the world, will be celebrating Free Comic Book Day.
Well, it's funny you should say that. I mean, it really is. It has become this world event. Pulp Fiction Comics in Australia own... Dan McGinnis, who is the creator of Pilot and Huxley, will be on hand at Pulp Fiction Comics in Adelaide, South Australia. And so, you know what? This is fantastic. This is something, you know, when we think of North American comics, of course, we think of North America, right? We think of the typical sort of thing. So why else would anybody else in the world be concerned with Free Comic Book Day? But, you know, this is becoming an international phenomenon. And as we see by stores like Pulp Fiction Comics, this is... it's fantastic.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And this is the 10th anniversary year for Free Comic Book Day. We have to mention, too, Dragon Comics, our good friend Jen, in Guelph, Ontario. She is at the old Quebec Street Mall on 55 Windham Street North, Unit T12 in Guelph. She's got an amazing store, The Dragon.
Yeah, her store was actually a finalist in last year's Eisner's.
Yeah, you know what? I think she made Final Four.
Yeah.
Right? And which is stunning because that award, the Eisner Award, covers every single comic shop in the world.
Yeah.
And for that committee to
fantastic,
you
really.
Know, shortlist you basically to the Final Four.
That's great. Yeah.
That's a huge achievement for them. So good on the Dragon. And of course they are celebrating Free Comic Book Day. The mall actually opens early at 7, it says on their bio.
Oh, get out. That's
there.
Fantastic.
But the store opens at 10. I guess Jen needs her sleep.
Well, you know what? I don't think she needs her sleep because she's a wonderful person.
Yes, she is.
And, you know, I'm sure she's going to do a great job at her store. And I wish her all the best.
Right. So those are just three shops. We obviously don't have time to name all the comic shops celebrating Free Comic Day.
We'll name a few more next week.
But you should know that. Just check your local comic store, phone them, see if they're participating.
And you know, I know this is going to sound bad for all those that aren't participating, but any comic book store worth their weight is doing something special for Free Comic Book Day.
Yeah, and if you're not, shame of you.
Yeah, if you're not, you're really shame on you, for sure.
Shame on you.
Shame of you, whatever.
Shame of you.
It's all good.
It is all good.
Okay.
All right, Chris. I think, yes, that is the end of the show. So that is all the time we have for today. Comic Culture is produced by Anthony Falcone and engineered by James McIntosh. For comments and suggestions, visit comicbookdaily.com. Click on the podcast link and scroll down to the bottom and add your comments in the comments field.
And remember, Free Comic Book Day is only 2 weeks away.
So please support your local comic book store.
And go out and have yourself a wonderful day.